Welcome to Spark Your Fire Podcast. Content discussed on this podcast is general in nature. Please seek specific advice from qualified professionals. Now, let's start with the quote of the week.
The Marines have a saying, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. The center of bringing any dream into fruition is self-discipline.
G'day everyone, welcome back to another episode of Spark Your Fire. We haven't had a property investor story for a while, and it's been good to be able to get another property investor on the show. So that Jazz and I are just not staring at each other really every time we go, oh, should we talk about our story again and don't want to bore our listeners to to a certain degree. But anyway, it's good to have another investor in our show today. We've got Mark Wang. He's a long-term friend of mine back in the days when I started investing in properties, also around that same period. But look, you know, as we were jokingly saying before, you know, as I deviated into mortgage broking, I obviously stopped accumulating. Mark has since accelerated and he's now onto property 13. So, you know, not just a random guy on the street that you'll find, that's for sure. So, you know, must be some good tips and tricks that we can get out of him today. Jazz, what do you reckon?
It's pretty impressive, mate. 11 properties.
13.
Oh, sorry.
One free, mate. One free.
Mark, what drug do you take, mate?
Oh, first, thank you, Jazz and Dave. Thanks for having me on the show. Yeah, certainly you need a bit of journaling to keep you going to accumulate. So probably the chemicals in my own body to keep me going. No drugs.
It's some DNA that must be embedded within you, right? In terms of having a very clear goal, in terms of what you're wanting to achieve, which is probably good. And that's probably where we'll start off on that basis, knowing, letting people know a bit about why you start, or when did you start? When did you start accumulating? When did you start buying properties?
Dave, I initially came to Australia in 2009 as an international student. After finishing uni, I started to work straight away. And after 3 years of working, I accumulated quite a bit of capital to invest. I saved pretty hard at that time because, you know, as a single guy, I tried to, you know, save on everything, living the rent cost, the food, everything, because I want to get ahead, so which gave me the freedom to do what I enjoy doing. I bought my first property at the end of 2014 in Brisbane. Yeah, it's the suburb is called Boondo. It's about 20 kilometers north of Brisbane. Mm. Yeah.
So why did you buy it? I mean, just jumping back. So a lot of people said there's a lot of other asset classes, right? And I think obviously by knowing your surname as Wang, they probably would have guessed that you come from an Asian background. Is that something that your parents kind of go, Mark, you need to buy properties as early as you can? Or is it something that you initiate yourself to say, hey, I actually want to use property as a vehicle for me to get to that wealth?
Oh, I come from a, you know, family background which is very conservative. My parents never invest in properties or shares. Oh, they probably don't have much money to invest anyway. They save every cent they can, try to give my sister and me a good education they can afford. I think the education they invested is probably the best investment they made. I certainly, you know, very grateful for what they did for me. I have a cousin living in Brisbane. He owns two investment properties. Mm-hmm. And from that point on, I started to know that you can actually buy quite a few properties instead of just your family home. Then I started to dive into property investment. I tried to learn as much as possible. Sometimes actually from the sales agent, they always, you know, try to introduce some different types of properties or, you know, different suburbs, etc. So I get to know that property is a great asset class to invest in, especially in Australia, because of population growth. It's a lucky country with a beautiful environment, abundant resources, and very good multicultural country. Yeah. And a lot of people want to move here. So all these things made me have a confidence in the Australia's property market. I think then pulling the first trigger is difficult because, like everybody else, you know, it's you need to fork out a bigger portion of your savings, and you are buying $500,000 or sometimes even more to get a property, under your name. I did also look into shares, but usually you don't borrow money to invest in shares, so you cannot leverage. Well, for properties, the biggest advantage is the leverage. You can borrow 80% or 90%. Or even more in some circumstances, so that really can amplify the reward you can get from your investment, and that's the most attractive factor of property investment for me. And the bank is willing to lend you so much money because they think it's quite a secure investment anyway. So. Why I fight against the bank or yeah.
Two questions, Mark. First, what's the size of the portfolio, if you don't mind me asking, and the overall LVR on the portfolio? So we get the 40,000 feet view of what the portfolio is like, basically.
Jess, the total value of the portfolio is about $5.5 million. The LVR is about 70% based on my calculation. Yeah. And the net equity is about $1.5 million. Dollars.
And did you say that you bought your first property in 2014?
I bought the first property for about $372,000. In Punto,
Right. Okay. So obviously, within that 6 years, roughly give or take, that's a very fast move from first property purchase to your 13th property, almost, right? So it looks like you are running at a
it's the Usain Bolt in property,
1,000 miles an hour kind of thing. Are you in some kind of a rush? Or do you think the timing of the market is so right? That's a lot of properties within 6 years, is what I'm trying to say.
For me, I think it's all about numbers, right? If you have a large portfolio and every small increment in terms of percentage increase means a huge, capital gain. For example, $5 million portfolio, every 1% gain is equivalent to $50,000. Mm-hmm. That's could be equivalent to somebody's annual income. Mm-hmm. So I think the portfolio size is important. Yeah, that's why I try to accumulate as much as quickly as I can. If I know it's a good value, but at the same time, there's quite a bit of sacrifice you need to pay to get to that level. I mean, I drove a $5,000 car for many years till that point. I find that it was so hard to find a girlfriend with that car. So I had to ditch that car and buy a bit better one. And it worked well. and I also tried, at some point I tried driving Uber to try to save some extra cash. But importantly, I think you needed to buy, you know, in the first couple of properties are probably important if you are not very good a saver, because if the first couple of property can appreciate very fast in value, then you can take the equity out very quickly and get into the next one. And I don't mind using mortgage insurance. In the first few purchases, I always put down, you know, 12% deposit instead of 20%. So that gives me, you know, extra cash to buy more properties.
So going next level down, so there's 13 properties, 5.5 mil portfolio, 70% LVR, sounds pretty good. Most of these properties are in concentrated areas like Brisbane, Sydney, or they spread around?
The properties spread across three states, Queensland, New South Wales, and Tasmania. So I have seven properties in Brisbane. In Southeast Queensland, I should say. Two located in Moreton Bay region, two in North Brisbane, and three of them are in Logan. We have our family home in Sydney, in a suburb called King's Landing, which is next to Blacktown. It's a beautiful suburb. If you are looking at buying a home, I think I recommend you look into this area.
Trying to push the prices up.
Probably median price is probably around 850K. It's a bit more expensive than Blacktown because the environment is better. It's a bit more leafy and quieter.
Right. And because Mark has already bought there.
Yeah, that's true. So there are a lot of people coming in, so that certainly puts the price up. That's the purpose of us saying that. I also have five properties in Hobart. I'm glad that I bought so many properties in Hobart because the capital growth was amazing and the rent growth was even better, and so three of the properties have a rental yield over 7%, and two of them are over 8%. So, yeah, I actually, you know, putting money into my pocket.
That was my next question, actually. What's the total rent yield? Is your portfolio negatively or positively geared?
Rent yield is about 6.5-ish%. So yeah, you can say it's a positively geared. Yeah, especially in current interest rate. I mean, it's a positively geared property portfolio.
That's really good, mate. That's really good. 6.5 is the gross yield you're talking about, not net.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, gross deal.
And that's all residential properties, or are there commercials as well in the portfolio?
Oh, just the residential properties. I always look at buying under market value and positive cash flow properties. Since I have a limitation on my earning, and the cash flow is critical, and I don't want to have too much pressure when the interest rate goes up at someday. It won't stay at such a low level all the time. It could go up very quickly at some point. So always need to take that into consideration.
Has COVID impacted you at all in terms of negotiating rents or any other troubles along with that, or if it has changed your your thought process in terms of investing or the style of investing, the verbs that you're investing in at all, or nothing really on that front?
I was a little bit concerned when COVID hit, especially nearly every country in the world is affected.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking, possibly the property market will be hit. Later on, I had a little bit more confidence that the property market probably hold pretty well. Mm-hmm. For some reasons. Firstly, every country is printing money. That sort of devalues the value of cash, the value of money. And then, so asset price will be pushed up, just like what happened in the share market. The U.S. share market is at all-time high.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at some point it would have this similar effect on the property market.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it will be a little bit delayed. Who knows, right?
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, have some impact on the people's jobs and income. But it could be a temporary thing. I always look at the long term rather than short term when I invest in properties. Yeah, I don't have the need of selling them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't worry about the short term up and downs.
Okay.
It doesn't have any impact on my properties. They are all rented. Nobody asked me to reduce the rent. Yeah.
That's really good. That's really good. That's good to hear always. Mm-hmm. Most of these properties, are they stock standard houses or have they got some sort of a X factor attached to them where when you're looking at making a purchase or the purchases that you have made, that you're looking at subdivision, granny flats? What is your plan basically with these properties is essentially what I'm trying to ask. Do you plan to, the way you purchase them, do you plan to subdivide them or it's just purely a good rent you will play? What's your aim over here with these properties?
For me, I believe, it's important to just have a bigger portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
But also, also looking for the X factor, if possible.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the properties with the X factor can cost a little bit more, but I don't mind paying for that extra money for that.
Mm-hmm.
The home we're living in has 700 square meter land, and it's a corner block. We already asked the council, it's subdividable.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe in the future when the price went up a little bit more, we will consider subdivided.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the properties are quite close to the train stations. So there's a possibility of rezoning and they're possibly be able to, to build units or townhouses in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But it's unknown. Maybe after 10 or 20 years. But for me, I try to keep it simple initially. I don't want to get into too complicated development at this stage, although I'm quite interested and I have some construction experience. So that helps.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Can I ask, Mark? So yeah. when you purchase these properties, do you use a buyer's agent or do you find them yourself?
I bought them by myself because I'm personally very interested in hunting for properties.
Okay.
Yeah, I find it's a quite enjoyable thing. I grew up without much, because not family is not that wealthy and you don't have the luxury of, spending on a lot of things you want. You always try to find the the things with the best value for money.
Mm-hmm.
So I always, you know, in when I buy things, and no matter it's property or a car or anything, I always try to find that treasure. Yeah, especially, you know, try to get the best deal. That's a sort of a habit or something I enjoy doing.
So do you negotiate hard yourself with the agent yourself? Do you negotiate hard?
Oh, yeah. I think negotiation should be of mutual beneficial, right? The deal cannot be done if it doesn't benefit, only like benefit one party. Then must be everybody's happy with the result.
That's true.
Yeah, having a good relationship with the agent is important. You need to demonstrate you have very strong financial capability. You can get, if you sign the deal, you can settle the property. You need to give the agent and the seller that confidence. So when you communicate with the agent, you need to convey that message. And they are very willing to, you know, to give you the best price and term and conditions you want, if that's the case. Especially for some distressed sales, the sellers don't care too much about the price. They just want to get rid of the property as soon as possible. So you need to give them the confidence. So that's important.
No, I totally agree in terms of, you know, in trying to negotiating a deal, you gain some and you got to give some at the same time, right? So you can't just take all the time. So I think that's definitely some wisdom there in terms of the out of the 13 properties, and hope it helps the investors.
Yeah.
I do want to circle back to a previous question though. You said your first property was in Boondell, and that's in Brisbane, but I know you're based in Sydney. Now, usually the first property, most people would probably go to their backyard, right?
Yeah.
So how did you overcome that interstate investing from day one?
Dave, I used to live in Brisbane and moved to Sydney at the end of 2013. I did try to buy a property in Sydney, to be honest. Yeah, but
2014 was too hot.
Yeah, 2014 was very hot. I was a bit... I actually made quite a few offers.
And you got outbid.
Yeah, even like attended the auction, but yeah.
Okay.
Just I was a little bit too crazy. So I was thinking maybe, you know, Brisbane will be the next hot spot, as a lot of people said. But to be honest, I think if I buy in 2014, it would be still great investment. Yeah, I think at that time, I still didn't know that much about property investment. Although I did a lot of research, but I haven't really got into it. So if I had the knowledge I had today, I would have bought it in Sydney at that time. To be honest, the purchases in Brisbane are fantastic. These are the first couple of properties, you know, quite close to the CBD, decent rental yield, and they had great capital appreciation, yeah, in the last 5-6 years.
Mm.
And I'm glad I made that move.
So that built your foundation essentially, because were you able to refinance and take out the equity from those properties and use them as equity, as deposits for the rest of the 13 properties? Is that how you managed to grow and expand?
Oh, yes, that's very important. Certainly, you know, as I said previously, I use mortgage insurance, but at the same time, I needed to take the equity out because I cannot save fast enough. For the first couple of properties, I took equity out pretty quickly. I bought them under the market value. These first two properties are distressed sales. I got them at very good prices. And at that time in 2014 and 15, the market moved quite a bit. So I was able to take I was able to take some money out and keep investing. Yeah.
So, Mark, you've obviously done really well here, mate. Rent yields are good. LVR is great. Portfolio size is growing, which is awesome. New South Wales, Queensland is the next hot town for the last 5 years. We keep saying that. But what I was trying to get to is, what's the end goal here, mate? I mean, where do you see yourself? I mean, what's the point where you'll be like, I've achieved my target and what that target is, and then move on to the next phase of the life, whether that's the developments that you want to do or whatever else it might be?
Jazz, it's a good question. Initially, I didn't expect to accumulate so many properties, to be honest. When you, I didn't set a goal of having, you know, so many properties, but, you know, I always just look at the next step, instead of looking too far. It's probably be easier for you to just work on your next one instead of looking too far. Mm-hmm. The end goal is probably just giving me a little bit more freedom to do what I want to do, you know, giving my family a better life, you can help the people you want to help. That's important. Give you a lot of freedom. I think that's the end goal for me.
But do you see that this size of portfolio is enough to get you that point, or do you still want to keep continuing? What's that figure that you have in mind?
I'll just keep buying properties and hold them in my portfolio. At some point, you know, maybe the bank doesn't want to lend me money. Mm-hmm. I possibly just sell properties which are already done the job. I mean, the property is already at the peak of its property cycle, and then use the money to buy properties which are at the bottom of their property cycles, yeah, to maximize the gain. These properties are cash flow positive, so I don't need to worry too much. At some point, they will generate enough cash to fund my lifestyle. So I don't see the point of selling them.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. That's really good. Which year did you purchase your properties in Tasmania? Was that before the hot run that it saw in the property prices, or post that?
I bought the properties in 2017 and 2018.
So you saw?
I did ride the wave. Not the entire way, but I still had a very good capital gains. I learned the lesson in Sydney in 2014. Everybody is saying that the property market is too hot. It has already gone up, you know, to 30%. Mm-hmm. Brisbane will be the hotspot.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to look at what's driving the property market in Sydney, right? Sydney didn't have a growth for a long time, around 10 years. Then it had a boom in the short term.
Mm-hmm.
So its properties became more affordable in that 10-year period. Mm-hmm. And Sydney's economy was doing so well. Mm-hmm. And a lot of immigration, a lot of job opportunities, big infrastructure spend, that all boosted the property market. So it was still a good time to invest, even it had a 30% gain. So mm-hmm. in 2014, I didn't catch the property market in Tasmania started to boom in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So already had a 20% gain in 2016. Mm-hmm. So I found it was still a good time to jump in 2017 because the market didn't have the market went to sideways for over 10 years in Tasmania.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, there was so little supply uh, in in Hobart. I drove around Hobart. I rarely see construction site. Mm-hmm. That means there's a very short of supply. And the population is growing, although the pace is slower than the big cities, but it's still a couple hundreds of people moving to Hobart every week. It means quite a lot for that such a small city. And the tourism was booming, the agriculture, there's a high demand for its agricultural products from Asian countries. And a lot of students are moving there, you know, for education, because they have it's classified as a regional place, and you get the extra points for immigration. Lastly, you know, it's because the boom in Sydney and Melbourne, a lot of people find that they are not good getting value for the money. So why they don't move to Hobart? Mm-hmm. For a much better lifestyle.
Yeah,
especially for retirees there. So
especially during this COVID period.
Yeah, so considering all these factors, I decided to invest in Hobart, and it was a good decision. And when you look at I was a little bit concerned about the impact of COVID have on the property market in Hobart, but because, you know, tourism is a big thing for Hobart. But when I look at the median prices of the suburbs I invest in, they actually went up. Yeah, I was wondering whether people moved, more people in Australia moved to Hobart or not. Yeah, because they are more affordable. People are not getting pay rise or getting lost their job. They probably find, you know, they can still afford the cheap properties there, or the you know,
affordable.
Yeah, affordable. And
affordable.
Yeah, affordable. And a lot of people probably can work remotely, right? While enjoying the beautiful river view and the beautiful, you know, forest is actually in Hobart.
I'll tell you what, you're just making me jealous. I'm in Melbourne, lockdown.
same here. in Sydney.
So that's interesting. No purchases in Victoria. Any particular reason that you stayed away from the Melbourne market, or just didn't happen to?
I almost bought a property in Geelong back in 2017. I actually went to Geelong with Dave. I made the offers, actually. One was close to getting a deal done at that time. Yeah, I liked Geelong. I missed the boat, but you know, I catch the boat in Hobart, so I didn't regret it much. I always think, you know, in the future, if the value becomes available again in Geelong, I would go and invest. I think it's a great place. To live and work. I did the in earlier this year. I also, you know, I checked some regional towns in Victoria, Ballarat and Bendigo. Yeah, I think there's still some value in these.
Definitely.
Yeah, in these cities. Yeah.
Especially now with the work from home concept.
Geelong's boat might not have fully sailed, Mark, by the sounds of it, to be honest. If you know, but I think Geelong's actually gone, just like your Tassie properties in Hobart, they've actually kind of gone upwards in middle of a COVID crisis, because a lot of Melbourne people has fled to Geelong to try to find that balance. So you never know. Keep looking, and I'm sure your next one will probably land somewhere in regional Victoria.
David just wants his Geelong property to go up. that's cool. David, why have you been hiding Mark all this time, mate? He's such a great investor.
Mate, yeah, he's full of knowledge, mate, let me tell you. And I'm sure that, you know, we could talk property all day, but, you know, I think we'd probably have to get Mark back at some point in time, given that he's got so much great stories that he's able to share, so much knowledge about markets as well.
Property is boring. Mark, you've been doing it. We've been doing it. Let's get on with something else. Aliens, believe it or not?
I believe there are aliens, because when you look at the universe, right, the Earth is just a drop of water in the ocean. Mm. Or there's scientists, I think, try to compare the size of Earth with the universe. They found that there are more stars, more planets in the universe than the number of grains of sand on Earth. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine how small our Earth is. So, life was created under certain environment, right? I remember I read something a long time ago that some molecules under some circumstance, for example, lighting or some high pressure, opening of the volcano, then the molecules start to connect to each other and become organisms. Mm-hmm. And then the organisms start to form DNA, and the DNA start to arrange, you know, the organic, sort of components that form the life, right? Initially, it will be single cells and multiple cell, then eventually human beings like us. So I think if there's a place in the universe which has similar, you know, environment that's available for the life to form, I think it's very likely aliens. But yeah, also possible that it could be some machines that come to find us, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe all these aliens, just these machines with the AR, and they killed all the life on that planet, and then they dominated and they started trying to find humans.
Bitcoin. A flop show or here to stay?
Bitcoin was generated because people, you know, in the black market, people don't want the government to check the flowing of the money. So there's some value there, but I don't know what value is attached to Bitcoin. So I think it would still exist, but it won't be used everywhere, and the government probably won't allow to be Bitcoin to be used because the limited supply of Bitcoin, right? The government cannot print money, mm-hmm, to create inflation or to better control the economy. I think it's better don't use Bitcoin everywhere, because I would still want to give the government the flexibility of printing money and etc. To better regulate the economy. There's some reason, I think, behind having, you know, central banks to control the money. Yeah.
So you are essentially saying is that sound money is not such a good thing.
It's not bad for people who don't have assets. It's good because they have all the money in cash, and then the value will decrease. But it's good for people with assets, because the price will go up and the debt will decrease. But yes, certainly, you know, when the government is controlling the money market, they would certainly consider the overall well-being of the society, right? The country. So the reason that the government doesn't adopt sort of limited the supply of cash, I think that there's a reason behind it. So I don't think that Bitcoin can replace the other currencies we have.
Interesting.
fascinating chat.
You shouldn't be friends with David. You should be friends with me because David doesn't believe in aliens and I do. So.
Yeah. Mark has got his different sides as well. Let's put it that way.
Look, mate, really enjoyed the conversation.
Thanks, Mark, for coming on and sharing your stories. I reckon we're going to, I mean, we can't fit everything in, as you can imagine. Like, you know, the amount of experiences that you have across the 13 properties, obviously shown with a lot of in-depth conversations. And we'll probably get you back on again later on to talk a bit more about, you know, more in depth about a few of the properties. Because I think this time we're more diving into from a strategic and holistic view, mm-hmm. whereas a couple of, you know, we can definitely talk a lot more about how did you manufacture equity, especially towards the end of the purchases, you know, the most recent purchases. Why did you buy there and that kind of stuff? So, yeah, but we'll leave something for next time, I reckon.
Yeah, surely.
Sounds good.
Mark, I appreciate your time, mate. Like David said, we'll catch soon again. Take care. And to the listeners, hope you guys enjoyed the story. And we'll have Mark at some point back again when he's on his 20th purchase, probably in 3 weeks.
I wish so. Thanks, Jez and Dave. I really appreciate you to have me on the show.